Third chapter. The indispensability and benefit of prayer. Call upon me in thy day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Psalm 50:15. It is characteristics of the impoverished to beg, and for a man impoverished by sinful fall, it is characteristics to pray. Bishop Ignatius. God does not need our prayers. He knows even before our petitions of what we have need. He is the most merciful one and pours forth his abundant mercies even upon those who do not ask. We are the ones who need prayer. It brings man closer to belonging to God. Prayer, or the calling upon the name of God, is among the threefold Christian duty. The duty with regards to God, the duty with regards to oneself, and the duty with regards to one's neighbor. Our duty with regards to God obliges us through prayer and calling upon His name to show our faith in Him, that we truly believe in Him, that we know no other God besides Him, that we confess Him to be the source of all goodness, that we hope on Him as on the true Father who loves His children and grants them their petitions. We turn to Him as children in the flesh come with their request, not to a strange father, but to their own from whom they were born. The Apostle says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Romans 10:14. And the Lord Himself said, I am the Lord thy God. That is, know me alone, confess me, and rely on me alone, and seek all good things from me. Call upon me in thy day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Psalm 50:15. Our duty with regard to ourselves obliges us to seek all goodness with faith from the Giver and all good things, the Heavenly Father, because we are bereft, impoverished, and wretched in regards to physical as well as spiritual good things. Our duty with regard to our neighbor obliges us to pray for our neighbor as for ourselves, asking likewise for him good things from God, as the Apostle says, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. James 5:16. This is what Christian love requires. God knows what we need even before our petition, as Christ says, for your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need for all these things. Matthew 6:32. That is, food, drink, clothing, and all things necessary for life. And He grants His good things to the righteous and sinners because He is merciful and generous. He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5:45. He likewise knows what spiritual things we need towards salvation, faith, grace, peace of conscience, etc. But we must know that all good things proceed from God. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. And we must therefore ask these things of God with faith, that we may learn and recognize that we receive everything from God, and in receiving them, thank Him as the benefactor who grants us His mercy freely. God Himself commands us to pray and to call upon Him. Call upon me in thy day of trouble. Psalm 50:15. Ask, seek, and knock, says Christ. Matthew 7:7. And in other places in the sacred scriptures, the same commandment is found. Our need, both physical and spiritual, persuades us to pray. Physical need forces us to ask for what we need temporarily, for temporary life, while spiritual need relates to the salvation of our souls. Many troubles surround us, many afflictions, strangeness, sorrows and temptations which we cannot overcome alone without God's help, which is granted to those who pray. The benefit proceeding from prayer is inexpressible, for a humble prayer solicits all things from the merciful and beneficial God. Examples of this are found in many places in the sacred scriptures. The great action of God's beneficence is the fact that man is vouchsafed to converse with the unattainable God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to present to him his needs and make requests concerning them, to praise him and thank him. That all things happen through the means of genuine, faithful, and humble prayer, as the holy John Chrysostom says. When you pray, is it not God whom you are speaking? Tell me, when you are reading, do you read the one who is speaking to you? Do you hear the one who is speaking to you? When you pray, is it not God to whom you are speaking? Tell me, when you are reading, do you hear the one who is speaking to you? A man considers it a joy for himself when he converses with an earthly king. How is it that Christians do not consider it is a great fortune that they are permitted to converse with a heavenly king, the most beneficent and merciful God? And not only are they permitted, but are called to him by the commandment and promise of their petitions being heard. St. Tikhon of Zadonsk. That which is acquired by many prayers over many years is firm and durable. St. John Climacus. He who constantly learns on the sword of prayer will not stumble, but even should this happen, then he will not fall completely, for prayer is the pious compelling of God. Luke 18, chapter 5, verse. If you pray ceaselessly to the heavenly King for help against your enemies during all onslaughts against you, then be well assured you will not labor much, for soon they will retreat from you of their own accord, for these impious ones do not wish to see you receive through prayer wealth of victory in warring with them, and more than this, scorched by prayer as by fire, they will be forced to flee. In fact, that without prayer it is impossible to have virtue, good works, as one's companion in life, and travel together with virtue along life's path. I think this is quite clear for each person. For how could one undertake to do good works without often approaching and bowing at the feet of him who is the giver and granter of virtue? St. John Chrysostom. Some might have acquired a love for virginity. Some might zealously honor marital chastity. Some might have learned to quell anger and have acquired meekness as a constant companion, or have preserved themselves pure of envy, or might have become zealous for doing some other such thing. It will be easy and comfortable to accomplish one's pious flow of life if one accepts prayer as one's directress, and having placed it at the front through prayer will smooth out such a path of life. For whoever shall ask chastity from God, or righteousness, meekness, or mercifulness, for such a one it is impossible to not receive that for which he asks. Ask, says the Lord, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse. With such words and such promises, the Lord persuades all of us to preserve, to persevere in prayer. It is our responsibility in submitting to His divine teaching to pass our lives in hymns and prayers, zealous and most precise way to please God. Only living in this manner will we live a truly human life. Perhaps one of those who is lazy and does not wish to pray sincerely and diligently will seek to justify himself with the words of the Lord Himself. Not every one that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7, chapter 21st verse. To this I will say that if I esteemed prayer alone as sufficient for salvation, then someone could justifiably use these words against me. But as I say, that prayer is the chief of all virtues, the root and foundation of salvific life, then let no one cover up his laziness towards prayer with such words. Neither chastity alone can save one without other virtues, nor can caring for the poor, nor kind-heartedness, nor any other such commendable work. But it is necessary that all good works should fuse together in our soul, and that prayer should lie beneath them as the foundation and root. Just as the bottom parts of a ship and house are constructed to be strong and firm, likewise prayers fasten together our lives. Without prayers, nothing in our lives can be good and salvific. Just as all animals flee and hide with the appearance of the sun's light, likewise it is so when prayer, like a certain ray, emerges from our lips and our tongue, then the mind is enlightened. All unwise and animal-like passions retreat, scatter, and hide in their foxholes. But only if we pray as we should with a vigilant soul and sober mind. Then, even if the devil is close, he will be chased off, or if it be a demon, he will flee. Prayer is the golden connection of a man, a Christian, who is a sojourner and stranger on earth with the spiritual world, of which he is a member, and foremost of all with God, the source of life. The soul came forth from God, and so it always comes to God through prayer. Prayer yields great benefit to the one who prays. It calms the soul and the body. I will give thee peace, and also open the souls of our departed forefathers, fathers and brethren. You see how important prayer is, St. John of Kronstadt. Come, children, the sacred mother of all virtues, prayer, beckons unto us. Hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34, 11th verse. I will teach you the fear of the Lord through first-hand experience. I will instill this feeling into your hearts. I will also teach you to fear the fear of beginners, by which every man will avoid evil. Proverbs 15, chapter 27th verse. And the pure fear of the Lord, which endures unto the ages of ages. Psalm 19, in 9th verse. The fear wherewith he is held in reverence by all them that are about him. Psalm 89, 7th verse. Fearful to even the flaming cherubim and the most glorious six-winged seraphim. Abandon the fruitless and pointless attachment of all transitory things with which you will have to unwillingly part anyway. Abandon your entertainment and enticing enjoyments. Abandon idle speaking, joking, and much speaking which empty the soul. Remember, examine and be persuaded that you are here on earth as brief sojourners, that your homeland is the eternal habitation, heaven. You need a faithful and strong guide to bring you there. This guide is prayer and no one else. All the saints who ascended from the earth to the heaven completed this voyage through no other means than by me. I reveal to him who has entered into union with me the fallen state and sinfulness of man, and I extract him from them as from a deep pit. I enclose before him the princes of the air, their nets and chains, and I defeat and chase away these princes. I explain the Creator to the created, and remember and redeem it to the redeemed, reconciling man with God. I review before my disciple and the one who loves me the boundless greatness of God. I lead him into a state of reverence and submission to him as all those created should be before the Creator. I sow humility in the heart. I make the heart the source of abundant tears. I make my communicants of divine grace. I do not abandon those whom I guide until they come before the face of God and until I unite them with God. Ye God, who is the unfulfillable fulfillment of all desires in this age and the age to come. Bishop Ignatius Brenchanivnov.